brothers and sisters?
Yeah, we're ending this, the table here. Is it okay?
Yeah.
Guy chose to sit, stand here, I remember last time, because... well, anyway, this is better.
Amen.
Well, what are we to talk about today? This is last two sessions, and this one goes till 10:30, I think so. And then we have a little break, and then we finish with the last session.
Amen.
Last night, I talked to you about the a necessary daily life, personal daily life, without which we don't have any kind of way to serve the Lord, to have the church life. The rock bottom is our daily living, the normal Christian daily living. And of course, this is a big matter with many, many aspects. But last night I was more burden about some practices, right? And why the practices? It's not just the practices for the practices' sake. It is the Christian life is entirely a matter of the Spirit. Entirely a matter of the Spirit. And so without the Spirit, there is nothing. There is no Christian life. In fact, today, the life of God is in the Spirit, and it is the Spirit. So the Spirit is the life-giving Spirit. The Spirit is called the Spirit of life. And so what is really the Christian life? To boil down to it, to simplest terms, it is simply a life in the Spirit, a life filled with the Spirit, a life walking in the Spirit, a life walking by the Spirit, which is Paul's teaching, especially in so many books, in so many of his epistles. Every day, dear saints, our need is just to be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
Just to be flooded by the Spirit, be permeated by the Spirit, be saturated by the Spirit, and all kinds of things will take place as a result. You talk about our organic salvation, you know, including our regeneration, all the way through to our glorification. In between, we all know our what? Our renewal, our sanctification, our transformation, and so on and so forth. All these things in this organic salvation of God, which is what causes us to grow in this life, right? Even to mature in this life, are all a matter of the Spirit. All a matter of the Spirit. Now, this Spirit today is in us. This Holy Spirit, this Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, this Spirit of Jesus, this compound, all-inclusive, sevenfold intensified Spirit. This Spirit is in our spirit today, isn't it? And so today, it is a mingled Spirit. I know we all know these things, but I like to say this again. It is the mingled Spirit. So the whole Christian life is a matter of the mingled Spirit, of these two spirits mingled as one. And today, what are we doing? We are just living a life in this Spirit. with the Spirit, by the Spirit. In Romans, it says, walk according to the Spirit. Set your mind on this Spirit. In Galatians, it says, walk by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. And you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, etc. And everywhere else, you know, you go through the New Testament. Everything that we experience today cannot be divorced from the Spirit. There's no renewing without the Spirit. There's no transformation without the Spirit. In fact, the Spirit is the transforming element. Am I right? We are being transformed from what? Glory to glory, even as from what? The Lord's Spirit. Transformation is a matter of the Spirit. The renewing of the Holy Spirit. So to be renewed is a matter of the Spirit. The sanctification of the Spirit. There is no sanctification, not just the positional sanctification without, but the essential or subjective or dispositional transformation within, we won't experience that without the Spirit. Everything with the Christian life is a matter of the Spirit. And brothers and sisters, today we have to be what? We have to care for this Spirit.
Amen.
Right? So how do we do this? Well, all these practices we're talking about is the way. Is the way. Is calling on the Lord something shallow? Is calling on the Lord something too rudimentary for us anymore? No, brothers and sisters. We need to call on the Lord.
Amen.
And we need to call on Him deeply, strongly, to drink this Spirit, to be filled with this Spirit. We need to what? We need to pray. Praying is actually the way to what? Touch the Spirit. Even the Spirit within us grown within us. It is the Spirit working within us. So when we pray, that is a way for us to what? To be with the Spirit.
Amen.
To experience the Spirit. The Spirit giving us the utterance. The Spirit giving us the anointing. The Spirit praying within us. All of these things, it has to do with the Spirit. And then what? And then what? I said to what? To pray read the Word of God. What is pray reading? Pray reading is not a local church tradition. Pray reading is the mingling of the Word with the Spirit.
Amen.
Right? Making the Spirit, the God-breathed Word, Spirit to us. Right? And as such a Spirit, it will impart light, impart the riches, impart reality that is in God's Word, impart the truth into our being. And then, what else besides the prayer reading? I mentioned what?
Singing.
Yes, singing. Singing is actually a wonderful way for us to experience the Spirit.
Amen.
Because this is in Ephesians 5, this is in Colossians 3, filled in Spirit, speaking and psalming and singing. Being inhabited by the Word, right, singing. Singing and making melody. I think just even from this Lord's table this morning, may I criticize it a little bit? Aside from many other things, I would say, would you not agree with me? Maybe it's the theater style, the darkness, the dimming of the lights. I don't know what it is. But would you not agree that this morning's singing, which implies praising, right? Especially at the table, is a little bit weak. Do you agree with me? I thought we have an extra hour of sleep. We all should be a little bit more energetic, a little less tired. Well, I know with several hundred people here in a room in this kind of setting that we're not very used to, it does something to our spirit. It suffocates it a little bit. But nevertheless, our spirit should be what? If it's strong, it can be exercised in any environment, under any kind of circumstances. So all I can say is the spirit is somewhat weak. And when the spirit is weak, then I will tell you, the exercise usually falls on a few, and we become reliant on a sort of programmatic way to do things, a kind of procedural or routine way of doing things. There is not the kind of freshness, the kind of richness, the kind of liveliness in it, because the spirit is somewhat lacking. Well, I'm not here to condemn you or say something not so good about you. We need the Spirit more.
Amen.
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 And then what? Praising. Praising, let me tell you, is higher than prayer. Praise is higher than prayer. You can pray, but you may not be able to praise. You have to reach a praising stage, right? The exercise of the Spirit has to come to that stage to praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's the praise that defeat the enemy, right?
Amen.
The praise that enthrone God. And what else I mentioned? I mentioned giving thanks. Thanksgiving. Full of thanksgiving in our mouth all the time, in everything, give thanks. And then finally, I mentioned even speaking, right? Speaking the Lord, speaking one to another. All of this has to do with the exercise of our spirit. I say again, you cannot get more basic than this. And this is really where everything begins. Everything begins. Let's say we are burdened for the working saints to rise up, this, that, and the other. It begins with the Spirit.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
I hope that you will exercise, you will practice these things when you go back. And not just leave it here on the mountain.
Amen.
This time, we have 100 more saints here than last.
Yeah.
No. Yes, yeah. 100 more.
150
more saints here this time. And I was told that many of these additional saints, are from many other localities who have not come here before. Added up together. San Francisco, San Jose, or Berkeley, and so on, they have about the same number coming up this time. But we have an added 150. So they came from many localities. Sorry, I don't get to know you. I think some of you are from Mountain View, some from Fremont, some from Santa Clara, some from other places. Because all together here in the Bay Area, the Northern California, we have over 700 young working saints. So what a group of saints. What a blessed situation in Northern California.
Amen.
And this is why we're burdened. This is why we have these retreats. Without the Spirit, we're just some numbers here. We're just some people here. But if all of us have the Spirit, know to exercise the Spirit, know to use the Spirit, and what? Enjoy the Spirit, living a Spirit-filled life. Then the Lord can do something with us. Now, this morning, I'd like to, with the remaining of this first session, I have 2 points to say. The first thing is, along with the Spirit, there is another basic thing, in order for you, this group of saints, to become useful, to become an impact, to become a credit, an asset in the local churches, in the Lord's recovery, in the Lord's testimony. What is that? I will tell you, that is simply what? What will you say what this is? I will tell you, this is the church life, or the church. You may say the church. The Spirit on the one hand, and the church on the other. And this church is simply the body. So you can say the Spirit and the body, or the Spirit and the church. These are the two most important basic things that you have to lay hold of. And you mustn't forget about it. This is what it's all about. The Spirit and the body. The Spirit and the church. Now, this body, the church, is made practical in the church life. Just like the Spirit today is made practical, is made accessible, experientiable by our human spirit and the exercise of that spirit, this body, this church, is made practical to us in the church life. So what I want to stress this morning, the first point, is the church life. Working brothers and sisters, working saints, the Spirit, the mingled Spirit, has to be everything to you. And the church life must be everything to you. Everything. I mean everything. Today, Christ as life within us, this Spirit within us, is not only in you and me as individuals, but it is in you and me as members. As members. The Spirit is given by God without measure. And in the past ages, a lot of the pursuit of this filling of the Spirit, the experience of the Spirit, are earnest, but quite individualistic. Me, Spirit-filled. Me, spiritual. They neglected, or they were ignorant, that the Spirit is for something. The experience of the Spirit is for something. What is it for? It is for the body. Amen. It is for the church. And to make it practical, it is for the church life. Amen. All the calling, all the enjoyment of Christ, all the singing, all the prayer reading, all of this is not without a context. It is in the body and for the body. Amen. And practically, it is in the church life and for the church life. Amen. Never forget, brothers and sisters, we are not lone rangers, right? We are not independent Christians. No more. We are members of the body of Christ.
Amen.
We're all part of Christ's own body.
Amen.
The life we have within is a corporate life. It is a body life. Which means none of us can be isolated. None of us can exist as a Christian without the church. None of us can grow and go on and fulfill God's purpose alone by ourselves. It is all involved with the church. The church is what God wants. The church is God's heart's desire. The body is what the Lord intends to build up. And so today, praise the Lord, not only is the mingled spirit recovered, but the church life is recovered. And for those of you who are interested in history, this church life, this church wise, was lost for hundreds of years, especially with the formation of Roman Catholicism. Hundreds of years, maybe over 1,000 years, the church life as God would have it from the early days, from the so-called age of the apostles, in the beginning, is gone. The whole thing has become a human, formalized, earthly religion. There's no body life. There's no really church life. One of the first recovery of this church life is with Count Zinzendorf, with the Moravian Brethren, back in the 1700s. I won't go to that, but I will tell you that is the beginning of such a recovery. Today, most people, Christians, you talk to them, they hardly even know who Zinzendorf is. And that Moravian Brothers is not very well known today. You ask people, they say, what Moravian Brethren? But I will tell you, in God's economy, in God's move through the ages in the church, that move with the Moravian Brother is a significant one. It is one of the first primitive recovery of the church life, where the Christians are coming together to live a communal living. They actually literally live together in a communal way in a place called Herrnhut. And that is today in Czechoslovakia or somewhere there, where Zinzendorf in his estate, a wealthy man, collected and afforded a haven for all the Christians that are persecuted at the time. Many of them who belong to these so-called private churches, persecuted not by the Catholics, but now by the national state churches. And this is where they come to run away, to escape such persecution. They all brought their beliefs, they all brought their different backgrounds, they were a problem to each other. They fought, they were divisive, and it was through this Count Zinzendorf, and of course through the Lord's doing, that eventually they lay down all these things, these differences, these separating factors, and became one.
Amen.
To practice just as brothers. No name, no denomination. Just as brothers in one accord.
Amen.
When they start practicing that, and the story is one Lord's Day, the Spirit was poured upon them, much like Pentecost. The Spirit honors the oneness. They don't know the ground of locality, you know, all these kind of things. But they have certain reality of the church life. They lay aside their individual backgrounds. They lay aside all these things, these divisive things, to just be together as brothers. The Spirit came, and they experience a revival, the church life. Well, that's in the 1700s. Today, I will tell you, brothers and sisters, one of the great things in the recovery of the Lord is the recovery of the church life.
Amen.
The recovery of this mingled spirit and the recovery of the church life.
Amen.
This is a great and precious thing among us. Why are we here? Why are we meeting in the localities? Why are we meeting in the Lord's recovery? We're here for the recovery of the church life.
Amen.
A very special term in the early days, nowadays getting more common. People just say church life, church life. But it is somewhat a term that we have coined, the church life, a communal living of brothers and sisters in one accord. That's how it should be. That's how it should be. Now, brothers, sisters, you never disassociate yourself from the church life.
Amen.
Don't stay home by yourself. Come to the church life.
Amen.
Let the church life be the center of your universe.
Amen.
For some of us who have been here almost 50 years, since that day until today, the church is our center. Well, Christ, of course, is our center. But along with Christ, the church, and more practically, the church life has become our center. Our marriage surrounds that,
Amen.
Revolves around that. Our family revolves around that. Raising up our children revolves around that. Our jobs, our careers are all revolving around the church life. It's just the way it is.
Right.
The church is everything. Today you have to kill me to get me out of the church life. The only way I will leave the church life is when I die. As long as I have a breath, I'm in the church life.
Amen.
Not only I'm just with Christ, I'm enjoying Christ and I'm with the Spirit, but I'm with the church.
Amen.
This is a huge, big thing. Huge, big thing. And it pains me and it hurts me when I hear brothers and sisters who would not consider the church life as such. You know, there's the verse that says, seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added to you. You know what is the kingdom today? The practical kingdom today? It is just the church life.
Amen.
You may say, oh, the church life is kind of messy, you know, very, very imperfect. Here and there we even have offenses, a lot of problems. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I agree with you. The church life is not perfect. But I would like to challenge you. You go find me another place that you would give yourself to, that you are ready to give all and make that the center of your life's universe. You tell me another place. Sometimes we take things for granted. We have too much of a critical eye. The best thing is for you to check it out. And you'll find out this place is not that bad. In fact, this is the best place on the earth.
Amen.
With all its flaws and imperfection,
Amen.
This is the very best.
Amen.
I breathe the church life. I live the church life. I want all my kids to be in the church life and their kids.
Right.
And I want them to stay here forever.
Mm-hmm.
I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord.
Amen.
I mean, this whole matter of the church being God's house, being God's dwelling place, being God's rest, are drilled into us for years.
Amen.
And today it is still that case.
Right.
But I don't find that in all of you. The church life has become somehow optional. Or you begin to carve out some other lives besides the church life. Some other social life besides the church life that would rival the church life or sometimes even overtake the church life in its importance to you. You don't think twice about missing a meeting. Or even several meetings. Or weeks of not coming to the meetings. Whether the church is going on or not is not your business. How the saints are doing. Not to even talk about how to serve the Lord. It's not so central and not so important to you. Well, brothers and sisters, I'm so burdened about this. So burdened about this. You need to see the church as the Lord sees it. And you will love thy dwelling place, O Lord, I love. You will love this place as the Lord will love it. Even you come to a meeting, it's dead, it's cold, you'll still come. When the things are not so perfect, you'll still be there. I speak about Brother Kong, Jonathan Kong and his wife Joanne. I speak about them again. 50 to 60 years. I don't think they are just some crazy people. But they're just the way it is. Life is the church. Life is the church. No church, no meaning. Just like no Christ, no meaning. Christ is the meaning of human life. The church is also the meaning of our Christian life.
Amen.
The church life, brothers and sisters. This is our country. This is our nation. This is our kingdom. This is our land. This is our fatherland. This is our motherland. This is everything. Oh, how I wish to see all of you are like this. So, what does this mean? More practically. So, last night is on the Spirit. Now I talk about the church life. You must be married to the church. You must be married to the church. Not only you will never leave the church, but you will give all to her. Now, practically, what does this mean? This means you consider the church. You think about the church. You're occupied with the church in your feeling, in your heart, in your mind. It does me. It does mine, I should say. You have to have this such an appreciation of the preciousness of the church with the saints. You just love her. You just love them. You have to have a vision of that. All right. That's number one. You get married. You look for a wife or a husband. I tell you, you should look for a wife or a husband for the church life. We're going to have some kids now. We're going to have kids for the church life. We're going to find a neighborhood to live in. We're going to find a neighborhood for what's good for the church life. That's practical. That's practical. I'm going to get this job. Really speaking, Lord, I get this job for the church. I say it from my conscience. Not for me. It is for me, but not for me, but for the church. What's best for the church? Where I locate, where I live, what I do, not just what's best for the Lord, but what's best for the church, even the church where I am. I wish you're all like this. Now, the second thing is, related to the church, is you must present your bodies.
Amen.
Don't be spiritual, oh, I love the church from a distance. You know what I mean. I love the church and on my lips, just my lips. No. You love the church, you be with the church. Practically speaking, you go to the meetings of the church, all kinds of meetings of the church. Lord, not only Lord's Day, for sure Lord's Day, but the prayer of the church, the many home meetings, am I right?
Yeah.
Or group meetings, whatever you call it, of the church, the many activities of the church. You schedule yourself around it. I know we all have this busyness and this and all these things. We're all in different stages in life. But I have been through all of that. I have come through all of that. And I can tell you that it is absolutely doable. Whatever situation you're in and however busy you are, you still would live for the church. It's doable. It's all a matter of the heart. All a matter of the heart. Love the church meetings.
Amen.
Don't despise the meetings. Don't think the church meeting is not important. I tell you, every gathering of the church is important because the Lord is there. So go to the meetings. Even if the meetings are not as strong as you would like it to be, well, then you go to contribute. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the custom of some is. You know, going to meetings can be built up as a habit. Not going can also be built up as a habit. Cuts both ways. We need to go to meetings by habit. You don't think about it. You just go to the meetings. You just go. All right? And you go with happiness. You go with something. You bring something to the meetings, and that is a whole matter about the meeting life, all right? But the meetings. The church means ecclesia, the gathering, the assembly of the called out ones. So without meetings, there's no church. The church is in the meeting. In fact, the meetings are the church. It could be at a home, it could be at the hall, that's another matter. But the gathering. Don't miss the meetings. That means you miss the church life. Now, number three, not just, this gathering, let me say, includes everything from two or three to hundreds, to the whole church, or in districts, or in groups, whatever. And I mean all of this, right? Of course, you cannot go to everything, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Where you are. And number three, you not only should go to the meetings, you should bring something to the meeting. You should bring something. Yeah. Like potluck, right? Or whatever. What do you call it? Potluck, right? Meaning, you don't go empty-handed. I gave a word from Deuteronomy 12 recently. My eyes were so open, Deuteronomy 12.
Yeah.
And I don't have the words right now. I can give it to you later on. There are about 7 words, all in Deuteronomy, about how you should do when you come to the place where God, Jehovah, has placed his name there.
Amen.
The one chapter that talks about the Old Testament meeting, I mean, as a type of the New Testament meeting, is Deuteronomy 12. And I tell you, all the ingredients are there. It says you have to seek it. You have to come. You have to bring. You have to rejoice. And a few other words. All together, the way we New Testament people should meet.
Amen.
The same way that the Old Testament folks met. They have to bring their top tenth, the tithing of the products of their labor in the good land.
Yeah.
And they come and basically throw a party, right, with Jehovah, and offer to him and eat with one another, and that constitute the worship that the Old Testament that Jehovah wanted in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Today we're in the fulfillment of that type. So let's come and exhibit Christ. Am I right? We have such a song.
Yeah.
That means don't come empty-handed. Bring your enjoyment of Christ that week to the meeting. In the Lord's table that we just have. This is, you know what? This is the top worship time of the church life, is the Lord's table. And we all should come here with praise. It is called in Hebrews the fruit of our lips. The sacrifice of praises, confessing his name. I tell you, the bring a praise to the meeting. Don't come silently. Come and praise the Lord.
Amen.
You see, I'm not sure we all have that habit. Even that has to become habit.
Yeah, right.
Not periodic exercise, but habitually.
Amen.
The so-called prophesying meeting, I call it 1 Corinthians 14 meeting. When the church comes together, each one has. Am I right?
Yeah.
A what? A psalm. The first thing is a psalm and a revelation and a teaching and then tongues and so forth. Forget about that. Bring something for the building up. This morning, if more saints among you have prayed, I tell you, this meeting will be quite different. That means you brought a praise. You brought an offering. Some would be a big offering, some would a little offering, but you brought something here, and you offer it. I tell you, this just makes the meeting so rich and so high. When it's only a few always doing it, it's not rich, neither is it high. Well, don't blame them for taking over all the time. Blame yourself for not offering. I don't agree with people coming to the meetings and criticizing the meeting. I say, what have you done lately? Don't criticize. What have you brought? And don't despise prophecies. Am I right?
Yeah.
Last night? That means don't despise the little speaking for Christ and forth Christ. That's a whole area. Okay. Come to the meetings. Then another thing in the church life, and that is what? Serve. I forgot the prayer meeting. Come to the prayer meeting. It's a struggle. It's a fight. Come to the prayer meeting. Really. Working saints, it's your turn. It's really your turn. Okay. The serving in the meetings. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Your body is in time. Therefore, to give your body is give your time.
Amen.
This is the most reasonable service, most intelligent service. Give your time practically to the church, Amen. to serve. You may come here to the hall sometime to sweep the floor. You may come to the hall sometimes to arrange the tables or chairs. You may come to serve with the children. You may come to serve the young people. You may come to serve in many areas, yeah. in the college age. You may come to serve in all manners of things in the church life. We have no paid people. We just have the saints. And because we believe in the New Testament priesthood, where it's universal, every member functions. Amen. Every part operates. Right. So the body can build up itself in love.
Amen.
This is the vision we have. So serve. Come and serve. Right? And then one more thing to be in the church life, right, is to take care of somebody.
Yeah.
Just one person that you're taking care of, who's younger than you, maybe a high schooler, maybe a college age, maybe one of your peers. You know, today, people are all moving in here to do work, right, to get employed. I think there are a number of them who are there, but we don't know they're there.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say they're hiding, but they're just there, but not in the meetings of the church for this or that reason. I tell you, there's a lot of work to do to shepherd them. It takes time. It takes a lot of warming up, a lot of cherishing. They're not quite ready. You know what I mean? But they are one of ours. So the recovery of these ones is a great area of shepherding.
Amen.
Right? So this is another area of, you know, the church life. And needless to say, another area of the church life, and I stopped there, is really the outreach of the church, the fruit bearing of the church, the gospel preaching of the church. To be part of that. Now, after I say all this, you will say, goodness, this sounds like a full-time job. I already have a full-time job, actually more than I am doing 80 hours a week, 60 hours a week, whatever. And now you're throwing this onto me. I have no time. I can't do that. Well, I'm not so sure. Again, I think it's where the heart is. And how you will schedule your own schedule
right.
to care for what God loves, that is the church. All right? I don't hold anything back from you. So maybe the more I speak, the more I will be disinvited because I don't say things that tickle your ears and just make you feel good and go home. Although I know how to do that, but I don't feel like doing that because I'm speaking to you. Now, we need to have a break now, right? At 10:30. And I still have that other point, which I'll bring it for the next hour. How long should we break now?
15 minutes.
All right. How about we just have a break for 15 minutes, come back 10 till? Amen.